Windshield Wiper Reporter. This morning is Illinois State Representative David Severn. David, as always, good to see you, pal.
Hey, good morning, and ice cream sandwich day, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
I actually celebrate nightly if I can. I really do. Well, sandwiches are sandwiches. It doesn't matter. Hey, you know, when I saw this figure, now, there's been so much of this, and we've done a couple stories about, you know, the fraud that was perpetrated during the COVID pandemic, you know, for payroll protection programs, right, things like that. But the Illinois Department of Employment Security, that's a big number.
$5.2 billion with a B. I mean, that's unbelievable. And of course, you know, what happened was the governor takes over and says, I'll just run everything by executive order. So literally cut us out as far as the legislator. And we were demanding literally on a daily basis, hey, we want to be a part of the process. Let's make this where we make people responsible. We make the different departments responsible. And let's do this correctly. And instead, even the other side of the aisle, they basically let the governor go alone and do it by himself. And so there was no oversight. And so, you know, what I see is this $5.2 billion, if we're able to determine that that amount of money was gotten incorrectly, we should be able to then go after those people to recoup that. Otherwise, you know who's on the hook for it is you, me as a small business owner, and as far as you as a taxpayer, that, and me as a taxpayer. So
yeah, well, there was two ways that money was stolen. There was fraud and there was overpayment. That's
right.
The way I see it from,
yes,
what I've read. And then, you know, when you talk about paying it back, that's another issue altogether, because there had been the speed bump issue. Once we owed so much, the benefits would be cut and increased payments by the businesses in order to drive people to the table for any negotiations. We just got over one speed bump recently. But with this one, I did, and it's not exactly right, but I got, you know, just to give you a perspective, if you figure this out, every man, woman, and child in Illinois owns a little over $400 on the bill here, and not everybody in the state of Illinois is a taxpayer.
That's exactly right, and it gives you a kind of a black and white figure where you can actually understand what's going on. Exactly,
yeah.
Right. And but still, if we're able to determine those amounts, we should then be able to go after those bad actors, so to speak. And so, because again, I as a business owner have a couple small businesses and employ about 13 people. My unemployment and all the different taxes, those things are going up. And so people say, hey, how come this
business unemployment insurance for Illinois is one of the highest expenses that you can have?
It is. And people say, hey, how come everything's costing more? Well, there's several reasons, and this is one of the factors.
Yeah, $5 billion. So what should be done?
We need to be a part of it as far as the legislature for us to be able to help fix this. And how it needs to be done is that it needs to be facilitated where we have these different departments go back and go after these people. So we need to, as a legislator, both sides of the aisle, come together with something to get the departments to do their job. Demand it.
Right. So an investigation?
I believe that should probably be the first thing to be done, to find out where it went wrong. And, you know, not just to determine where it went wrong and how it went wrong, but then how do we fix it from this day forward? And then, and again, how do we go back and recoup that? Because it's one thing to, there's a mistake, there's a problem, but then what do you do about it?
Yeah, because that's a big tab. Here's a question from John, just out of the blue.
Sure.
John texting in, he says, could you ask David about the status of the Benton interchange?
Sure. So there's a on Route 57, there is a there's an application by the city of Benton and also the economic development that for there to be a new interchange on Route 57. That application has been made, and so it is not in the 10-year plan. Been working with IDOT and OMER to participate and talk with us about that. It's about an $80 million project. And so the challenge is it isn't just with the interchange in Benton, but also there are several bridges that would need to be changed, and so there's a lot to that. It's an opportunity for us to streamline some things at the Benton exit.
All right, now another question that came is interesting, because a friend of mine who I've known for,
sure,
gosh, 30 years sent me a text the other day with a screenshot, and it says, you know, Illinois allowing immigrants to become police officers. And he says, some of the acronyms I'll have to leave out. But he says, is this true? Yes, it is true. And the, you know, I mean, literally, our people are stunned, saying, "What?" You know, and many other people call, questions, text about your vote on that.
Yeah. So, and I appreciate you asking about that. That's HB 3751, and actually, I voted for that on the House floor, and then after thinking about it the next day, actually that afternoon, I sent a letter to the office, actually to the clerk's office, stating that I want it to be a no on that vote. So actually, if you go to ilga.gov, you'll see that my vote is a yes, because it doesn't change there. But actually, I voted no on that. And, you know, so here's the deal with that bill. There's a shortage of police officers in the state of Illinois, actually across the country, but the state of Illinois, with all the different things going on that we're against. So what happens is, it allows a person that, not just someone that's coming across the border, walks into a police station, gets an application, gets hired, grabs a, now they have a gun, and they're going to start arresting people, citizens of America. What this bill does, and I still don't like the bill, because I don't believe it goes far enough to do background checks on people that are non-citizens of the United States. What this does is, if you are a person from another country and you actually come in and apply to be a citizen for the United States, and all of your citizenship isn't completed yet, you can apply for a police officer in the state of Illinois. And so you would have to go through background checks and all those things. So it has to be someone that meets all those standards and that criteria. Still don't like it, and so that's why I changed that vote to a no. There is a shortage of officers in the state of Illinois.
Shortage of teachers, too. I mean,
absolutely.
You know that. You're a former school board member, right?
Absolutely, for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And so, but it's important that people know that this isn't just going to be someone that just, you know, swam across or walked across the border, goes in, fills out an application, and gets hired. That's not going to happen. And so, you know, something that that I learned a long time ago, and one of the reasons that made sure that I was a no on this, was that you vote your district. And so, you know, here in Southern Illinois, that is not the kind of things we want going on. So yeah. That would be that bill.
Well, Rick and Murphy just sent text in. So, you know, many people reference immigrants in the military, too, and the U.S. military isn't enforcing law detaining U.S. citizens and taking their rights on U.S. soil at the behest of whatever executive branch is sending them in to do so. So that was something that many people had been mentioned before. I'm going to have to read more of this text before I share it,
sure.
I can, because I have to give that a minute. So while I read that, 'tis the season, David. Two-year
right.
Terms. Are you going to run again in the upcoming election?
Yes, sir. I appreciate the question. And actually, officially, I'll be announcing on Saturday. We have a pancake breakfast in Benton at the Kiwanis Hall with other elected officials. And I'll be announcing that I am running for re-election in the 116th District. And as you know, it's every 2 years. And so literally, election was last fall, sworn in January, petitions this fall, and then primary next spring, and then general election next fall. So I look forward to continuing to serve the people of Southern Illinois. And, you know, something that I did this morning, and I told you I do every morning when I'm shaving, the question that you asked me several years ago was that how do you stay relevant, Severin, when you're in the super minority?
I want to ask you that question again today.
Yes, sir.
Because this is just some of the laws that were signed in one day,
yep.
And I blew my office budget on printing them out. You know, I mean, I can page through here and page after page after
sure.
page. And you know what? A lot of those are House bills, too, boy.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they are a lot of them. Let me just throw one out here. Various changes to the Illinois Credit Union allow sheriff's departments in counties under $2 million to bypass bidding requirements for the replacement of damaged patrol cars. Expands the responsibility of an employer to respond to gender-related violence in the workplace. Designates October as Italian American Heritage Month to be observed throughout the state. Hard to vote against that, you know, right?
Right?
But the fact is, you know, and I referenced this, you know, Republicans are tied up in the trunk with a ball gag in their mouth
sure.
when it comes to legislature
yeah.
right now, right? Well, the ball gag probably not, because you can still yell about it. I mean, does that ever cause you to question whether this is the thing for you when your voice is so muted by the by being in the super minority?
I got a quick answer that actually happened last night. So yesterday afternoon at 5 o'clock, I got off work, headed over to Southeastern to a Southeastern Illinois Electric co-op meeting, and then from there I headed to Mount Carmel. So I hadn't had supper. I'm in Carmel eating supper, paying my bill, and I'm always passing out my ink pens, and so a guy says, "Are you Representative Severny?" I said, "I am." He said, "Do you know Representative Lance Yednock?" I said, "I sure do." So I said, "How do you know him?" He said, "I'm from Chicago." He said, "He's my state representative." He said, "I'm down here working on solar panels." And he said, "Do you know him?" I said, "Sure, I know him." I said, "In fact, I'll tell you how much I know him." I said, "I worked with him on a bill that I couldn't get passed that he got passed. So I worked across the aisle with the Representative Yednock. And what this bill did was that large scale corporations and companies, when they're trying to get permits in the state, they would have to go through several different agencies. And so what we did is we put a bill together where all these different agencies would work together, and so they would only have to get one permit rather than have to go through IDNR and then through Ag and all these different places. And so Representative Yednock ran that bill. I was the co-sponsor. We got the bill passed. So being relevant and being effective, and so that's what I do on a daily basis. Just to give you a perfect example that literally happened last night at 8:30 when I was paying my bill in Carmi, met a guy from Yednock's district, and I was able to tell him that story and share that with you this morning. And had, you know, that's just kind of that's how life works for us, working with people to get things done.
State Representative David Severn, who will formally announce his reelection this
Saturday, yes, sir, in Benton at the Kiwanis Hall. Pancake breakfast. We'd love to have people come out. Bost is going to be there, Fowler, Bryant, Windhorst, myself, and other county elected officials.